This is a podcast by Radin Solicitors. We have Clearwood and Priya Palanavel giving you some legal background and top tips on surrogacy law. Right, Priya, I think the first question really is, how can you help?
Well, Priya, I've been helping clients for over 10 years to regularise their parental rights after having a child through the surrogacy process. It's a real pleasure and a privilege to help these parents who've often waited such a long time to have a much-wanted child. And the legal system here can be really surprising and not necessarily helpful when it comes to sorting out parental status.
And what is the exact legal position in England and Wales?
We have a kind of halfway house here where surrogacy isn't illegal, commercial and altruistic, but the legislation doesn't permit anyone to negotiate a surrogacy agreement on a commercial basis or for profit. So we don't have agencies and a big surrogacy industry like in other countries, for example, the US. Surrogacy does happen, though, domestically through not-for-profit agencies. The other issue is that surrogacy agreements themselves are not enforceable here, so you can't take it to court and say, court, please enforce this agreement. So if the surrogate changes her mind, then the court would have to make a decision about where the child would live, taking into account the welfare of the child and all of the circumstances of that family. So it's useful but not determinative to have a preconception agreement where the surrogate and the intended parents set out all of their intentions prior to the surrogacy arrangement. In my experience, it's quite rare to have a dispute, so it is quite standard for surrogates to hand over the child on birth, but there are some cases where disputes arise and we can advise in those cases.
So you said that there's no real legal process or it's not legal to have a surrogacy agreement. What applications can people considering surrogacy actually make?
So the main legal issue for you is that a surrogate is going to be the legal mother and her husband or wife or civil partner is going to be the other parent. And that's the reason that the court has to be involved to extinguish the parental status once the child is born. So parents, intended parents, can make an application to the court for a parental order. And this has a similar effect to an adoption order. It extinguishes the parental status of the surrogate mother and her partner, and in place of that, the intended parents become the legal parents.
And are there specific criteria that the parties involved have to meet?
Yeah, there's a number of conditions set out in the relevant statute. And over the last 10 years or so, during which I've been practicing in this area, the court's been considering these criteria in detail, and there has been some flexibility to achieve what's in the child's best interests. So both parents have to be over the age of 18. You've got to have two parents applying, so it can't, at the moment, you can't make an application as a single parent. At least one of the intended parents has to be genetically related to the child, so they've either donated the egg or the sperm for conception. One of the intended parents has to be domiciled in the UK, and domicile is quite a different concept to residence. It's got a much wider meaning that in some circumstances creates some legal difficulties. The conception has to take place artificially, which can include home insemination, rather than naturally through intercourse. At the time of the making of the order and at the time of the application, the child has to have his or her home with the intended parents. And also the surrogate and her husband or partner have to fully and with a full understanding of what's involved consent to the application for a parental order. The other thing to consider is that the court has to give authorisation of any payments made over and above reasonable expenses. And that's a big consideration in particular in international surrogacy cases where often quite large payments are made to a surrogate.
And would you say to those considering surrogacy agreements that they really need one?
Absolutely. It's really, really crucial. I mean, this is a question that's been asked by me of many clients over the years. Claire, do we really need this order? Is it absolutely necessary? Parents have got to ensure their parental status is secure here in England. Even if you've got a foreign order saying you are the parents, that's not necessarily going to be recognised here. And it's really important that the intended parents have got parental status, parental responsibility here in England. So parental responsibility is really important for lots of reasons. As a general statement, it gives the intended parents all the rights, responsibilities and obligations relating to the child, but specifically it enables them to consent to medical treatment for their child. It enables them to make a passport application, and this is often where difficulty arises. If you're making a passport application for your child and it asks you to confirm you are the parents with parental responsibility, and you may not be. So that is one of the reasons that a parental order, if it's possible, if you meet the criteria, is absolutely crucial.
And what would you say to intended parents if they don't meet the criteria? What should they do?
So clients, I always say to clients, you must undertake research, and most of them do. They've been looking into the process, into the options for many years, but look at the countries that offer surrogacy, the legal process involved, immigration aspects, the enforceability of agreements, costs, clinics, doctors, agencies, all of these people you need to speak to and get a good understanding of how they can help. It's really important in my mind to speak to others who've been through the process, who've had experience of agencies or experience of the legal process. And if you're embarking on an international arrangement, speak to the agency and ask them specifically what experience they have had with foreign couples and clients, to ensure that they have a knowledge of the parental order process in England, that they know that once the child is born, that their obligations don't stop there. They may need to assist you with the application that comes subsequent to birth. The other thing that I talk about with clients is the necessity to keep copies of all relevant documents and that research that they've undertaken at the outset, because in parental order proceedings, the parents are required to give very detailed statements to the court setting out how they've come, their surrogacy journey essentially, and how they came to have a child via surrogacy. And within those statements, they set out very detailed summaries of the payments they've made to the surrogate and in relation to the surrogacy arrangement in general.
And then finally, do you have any essential practical tips for those considering surrogacy?
I would say if you have entered into a surrogacy arrangement and this is the first time you thought about the legal issues, you need to make sure you have a good continuing communication with your surrogate, so, and her spouse if relevant. She will need to give her consent to the making of the parental order. So it's really important, as most clients do, they have a really good relationship with her, but she needs to be aware also that there is a process here in England that she will have to be a party to as and when the child is born. It's really important to keep good records of medical treatment, as I've said, all payments that you make, and make sure all of those documents, the surrogacy agreement and any other agreements you've entered into, are available to the court and are presented to the court when the parental order application is made.
Thank you, Claire. That's really helpful.